Like that, and now it's recording like that. I'll just put that there. And then we turn this on. Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Slash Filmcast, the official podcast of SlashFilm.com. My name is David Chen, and today I'll be speaking with actor, writer, and director Tom McCarthy. Tom McCarthy has appeared in television shows and films such as Boston Public, Duplicity, and The Wire. He's also written and directed films such as The Station Agent and The Visitor. His newest film, Win-Win, is out in theaters on March 18th, 2011. Tom McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us today on the Slash Filmcast.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
So you have such a diverse and accomplished career in both acting and directing. I'm curious, can you tell us about your breaking in story? How did you first get involved in the industry?
How did I break in? That's a good question. I don't know how. It was a slow road, I think, like it is for a lot of people. And it started at college. I went to Boston College. I started doing comedy improv there. I moved with a bunch of those folks to Minneapolis and started writing sketch comedy there. I moved to Chicago, did some stage work, and then ended up at the Yale School of Drama.
Cool.
Actually, I met Paul Giamatti.
I'm just going to move this a little closer to you.
Sure.
There we go. Cool.
I ended up at Yale, and that's where actually Paul and I, who's in my film Win-Win, and that's kind of where it kicked off.
So you'd been acting for a little while before you wrote and directed your first film.
Yeah, I got out of Yale, and I was probably acting for a couple of years doing stage and some TV stuff and a couple of small movies, and I wrote The Station Agent.
Was it always your goal to go into writing and directing, and the acting was a way to do that, or were you primarily?
No, I was a slow developer, so I didn't even know I was going to act till after college. I didn't major in it. I was a philosophy major. And then I found my way into acting, and then through acting, writing was always a part of it, because I was always doing sketch and comedy. And then I was doing a lot of independent films that felt the same, and I thought, well, I should write one as opposed to just complain about the films I'm not getting or getting and not particularly enjoying. And I set to writing a movie, not even thinking about directing it, and it was about halfway through, I thought, you know, I kind of see this movie, maybe I can direct it. So it literally was that organic of a development process.
I see. And it seems to me, looking at your filmography, there's kind of you'll write and direct a film, and then it'll be a few years, and then you'll do some acting projects, and then write and direct another film. Can you sort of describe the ebb and flow?
They usually overlap a little bit more. Right. I think when I'm acting and doing other projects, I'm usually writing. And then when the script is in form, I stop acting, I stop doing other projects, and I set to directing it. So it's usually a little bit more fluid that way, where I'm not like just taking time off. There's always overlap. Right now I'm writing a film for Disney. I don't have the opportunity to act right now because I'm just pretty involved in getting this movie out there.
Right.
So I can't commit to a schedule, but hopefully when this is done, I'll do that, and I'll start developing another movie simultaneously. So it's kind of an overlap in terms of process.
You mentioned how what got you into this is you were unsatisfied with some of the independent films that you were acting in. I'm not going to ask you to name any names, but I'm curious, what was it about those films that kind of...
It was a period of independent films where I feel like we started to recycle old friends getting together and not being satisfied with their lives, or
right.
not being able to grow up, or not being able to commit, and I felt, although they were, you know, totally worthy efforts, I just felt like there wasn't anything fresh about them, and they just weren't the type of movies that I like to see. So, you have two choices then. You can sort of hope it gets better and complain about it, or you can try to do something about it. The Station Agent was my attempt at that.
So I'm wondering, let's talk, actually, before we get to Win-Win, as a geek thing, I kind of got to ask you about The Wire, just because obviously it's
geek
one of
out.
The favorite shows. So you played Scott Templeton in The
yeah.
Wire, the morally challenged journalist at the Baltimore Sun in that series. How do you go about approaching a character like that who, I mean, generally, the series sets him up to be the villain of the season.
Yeah.
And so how do you personally, when you're approaching that role, how did you do that?
Well, it was actually pretty easy because I didn't know where the season was going. You know, David called me, David Simon called me and offered me the role, and we had a brief chat, and he said, I just think you'll be really right for this. I just have had you in mind. And I was like, oh, terrific. It's supposed to be a heroic character, a man who brings an end to those gang activity in Baltimore. And no, in fact, it turned out to be one of the most reviled characters in The Wire history. Literally, people hate me more than just about anyone. It's great.
Yeah. Even worse than, like, the drug dealing
murderers.
Oh,
my gosh, yeah. Forget about it. No, my kid, those are heroes. No, people do not like me. It definitely, I get a lot of grief on the street in New York, and people are very vocal about that. The guy in a Verizon truck yelled at me for about 5 minutes one time when I was walking by. He kept calling me a bad man. You're a bad man. And I'm like, come on, Verizon truck guy. No, but David called me and just said I had this role in mind and committed to it, and the season unfolds. You know, who's writing it as you're doing it? So you don't really know where it's going.
Right.
And he always, you know, the one thing he would say to me was, you're not doing anything bad here. You're just working on your career.
Right.
Just taking care of your business. And, you know, he didn't want any mustache twirling.
I was going to bring up mustache twirling.
Yeah, he just wanted to just commit to a young man trying to get ahead, an ambitious man trying to struggle to difficult business. You know?
So did you literally not know that your character was fabricating stories?
I could sort of see it coming after a while, but then you never know where his scripts are going.
Because I believe there's moments in the series, in that season early on, when you like defend yourself, you're seen on screen defending yourself, and you may not know that you actually were a
fraud. By that point, like when he really blows up and screams and throws his bat, which is then revealed to be empty. I mean, yeah, that's a guy fighting for his life. He's gonna lie his way every way from Sunday to get out of that situation, and that's when we realized just how, as you put it, how ethically challenged this reporter was.
It was a pretty great scene at the end, the confrontation. I'm not going to say what happens, but there's a confrontation between you and McNulty that is quite memorable.
Pretty fun,
one of the best scenes of the whole series in that day.
Yeah, I left that day feeling like a schmuck. Hard not to take that scene home with you.
Speaking of ethically challenged, I was reading the plot description for this film on IMDb, and it describes Paul Giamatti in Win Win as an ethically challenged lawyer who
Does
comes
it?
In. Yeah, I think, or something like that. Ethically troubled or something like that. And he comes in contact with this kid who is wrestling, really good at wrestling, mm-hmm. and Paul Giamatti is a wrestling coach on the side. How do you come up with these ideas for your films? And talk about the inspiration behind this.
It did. Funny enough, it did start with the inspiration of high school wrestling. And I have an old friend who's a lawyer who I called one day. And I was like, man, there's never really been a great movie about it that deals with high school wrestling. Everyone thinks Vision Quest. There's a little bit of it in Garp. But Vision Quest is probably the iconic movie. And I think most, although it's a fun movie, I don't think it's a really authentic portrayal of high school wrestling. And we were both wrestlers and pretty bad. And we thought this would be kind of fun to explore. So I invited him to, or asked him rather, to develop it with me, develop the story. And so he took time out of his busy schedule. He's, you know, got a law practice and a family. And we started just reliving our rather painful youthful memories about wrestling. And it was really a lot of fun. And from there, then we started developing this character of Mike Flaherty that Paul Giamatti plays, and his wife, played by Amy Ryan. About really a guy who's, unlike most of Paul's roles in recent years, like very content in his life, like has a good family, has a job. It's just not working. He's feeling the pressures that we're all feeling right now, the tightening, the trying to recover from what happened financially in the last 3 or 4 years. And but I think it's more a story about a good guy who makes a bad choice in under pressure. And he cuts some corners. And the story kind of takes
Sounds
off
a little
there.
Like Scott Templeton. No, I'm
right?
just messing with you.
Right? This is all about vindicating myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Templeton was a scumbag. I mean, there's just no around it. You know, he's one of the bad guys. I don't think Mike Flaherty is. I think Mike Flaherty is one of the good guys. He just buckled a little bit. And in a moment of panic, and probably couching it in, oh, well, I want to do what's best for my family here, and I need to take care of my family and my business, he made some bad choices. And that, to me, was really interesting. I do think there's some evil people out there. I also think there's a lot of good people who make some really bad choices and decisions. And as a result, we find ourselves, as a collective, in a bad place. So that's what I was interested in exploring, and it just so happened that his side job as a high school wrestling coach provided a lot of energy and humor, right. and really kind of a nice parallel to his story.
Quite the serendipity going on in that.
Yeah, yeah. There. It was a lot of fun, actually, and it was really trying to balance the two, because there is a sort of a darker undercurrent to the story. They're obviously dealing with this this older man and his dementia, and he gets put in a, you know, his guardianship, and some of those issues that get a little messy in life. So it was balancing the two.
Let me ask you about the child actor that you hired in the movie.
Yeah.
Alex Schaefer.
Alex Schaefer.
Who plays
Kyle,
a
young man.
Kyle Timmons, right.
Yeah.
Now, I just realized I was going to ask you another question to follow up on what you just said about high school wrestling movies and why there haven't been more of them. Do you have any explanation for that?
I do. I mean, let's face it. High school wrestling isn't a marquee sport. You know, it's not your basketball, soccer, football. It's track, even. It's sort of the bastard sport, isn't it? And it's a tough, brutal sport. You know, when I would go to the high school that we set this movie in, my high school, where I grew up, New Providence High School in New Jersey, it'd go some nights and there'd be 15 parents in the stands. You know, it wasn't rocking.
Just the sport itself, it doesn't lend itself to be very cinematic.
No,
it's awkward starts and stops. And,
yeah, it's
and
not for like everybody. Yeah. And I think, you know, but there was something that immediately then attracts it. It makes it attractive for me. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I haven't seen it done well. I haven't seen it. Alex, this young man we ended up casting the film, we had to do a wide search for him because I know I needed a real wrestler.
Right.
And we found this young man in New Jersey, and he was a sophomore in high school. And it turns out the same year we cast him, he won the state championship at 119 pounds. So pretty good year for the guy. and he brought a lot of credibility to what we're putting together. I mean, he was very helpful in sort of choreographing the scenes and keeping it real and not making it, you know, too sensational or too boring. Really, really helped those scenes. It was tremendous help.
One of the things I like most about the film is that performance. Have you seen the movie Animal Kingdom by any chance?
I'm dying to see it. I've not seen that movie yet.
I interviewed David Michaud, and that movie, like this one, it's a very different movie because it's about an Australian crime family.
Yeah.
But that movie, like this one, has a central character who is a high schooler. And in that movie, that character spends most of the time really catatonic, almost catatonic, like disaffected, very emotionless. I interviewed David Michaud last summer and asked him about this, and he was saying how he had to look really hard to find that child actor because most child actors come from a background of like musical theater or something like that. And he was really going for something that was much more realistic for high schoolers.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
We did the same thing with it. I mean, as written, this is a character who can be very monosyllabic, who can be very direct. He's not one of those overly articulate, sensitive high school kids who's, you know, you watch and you're like, man, I was never like that in high school. And, you know, you talk, you know, I have, you know, friends who have kids who are 14, 15, 16, and sometimes it's really tough to drag conversation out of them. Having it. And so we try to go for that. And it really, it's a fine line to walk because you don't want it to come off as boring or just stiff. And Alex just did a great job with it. He really brought his personality to it. I think he just really connected with the character, you know.
Yeah. I want to ask you, I had a few more questions, but it looks like we have to go straight to the end here. So let me say, from this point forward, I had a couple questions about the ending of the film, which
sure.
I'm not going to say what it is, but if you have not seen the film, you should probably not listen to this next portion until after. Save it and come back to this. So the ending of the movie, and I guess I'm curious about what it is you want people to take away from this movie and like what you see as the primary theme of the film, if any.
I always try to refrain from telling people what to take away from the movie. Ultimately, I want people to enjoy the ride. I want them to connect to the story and hopefully be entertained. That's my primary job.
Sure.
I think what I was interested in exploring in this film is I think it comes down to almost self-regulation. That as, you know, as adults, we can get away with a lot, you know, if we choose to. There can only be so much city or state or federal regulation for our activities, whether that's legal or corporate or artistic or whatever, that comes to a point where we just got to take responsibility for what we're doing. And that can be a tricky thing to do when you have other concerns, albeit, for example, financial. You're kind of, sometimes you're just worried about holding it all together. But one does not excuse the other.
Right.
You know, they're not mutually exclusive occurrences. And so I think this is about a guy struggling with that, really grappling with this idea of like, okay, how do I keep it all afloat? And you know, I think he makes some poor choices and then he has to pay for that.
Last question. You know, what I took away from the movie, like how I interpreted it, is I really like this movie because I see it as about redemption. Each of the characters gets their own sense of redemption. The Paul Giamatti character, the Alex Schaefer character, the Melanie Griffith character, yeah. Melanie Linsky
I'm
character.
I'm a little low on coffee.
I understand. They all get their kind of, their own sense of redemption. That's kind of what the last shot of the movie is, almost. Like, that, for me, like, he's done his crime, and this is him paying it back.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, so let me ask you. So what I was curious about is, like, the ending of the movie is like, oh, really happy, like, everyone's a happy family. But I wonder, like, what is that family going to look like 5 years from now when Paul Giamatti's, like, worked himself to the bone, you know, like, 12 hours per day?
I agree with that, too. I would say it's not such a happy, sunny ending. I mean, I think this guy's had to swallow a very bitter pill, and they have had to make some changes in their life. They have to account for the financial hit they're taking. They're taking on a new kid. It's going to be a struggle. So in that way, it's not like it all worked out.
It
suddenly came into a windfall. The guy's double timing, and now he is busting his butt. And I think it's a little bit about that, is maybe as our communities, we need to realign our goals a little bit and what we think we deserve and how our lives should be and be realistic about that so we don't get ahead of ourselves. And I think to that end, it's not such a sweet, happy ending.
All right. Well, well said. And Tom McCarthy is the writer-director of Win Win, which is out in theaters on March 18th, 2011. Tom, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you. Melanie Griffith.